outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Thursday, September the 11th, 2025, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, and you are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well, those of you of goodwill, as we like to say often on this program. We don't wish our enemies well, folks, particularly the enemies that are dead set on our destruction. I don't think that a more fitting phrase could be said than on today, the anniversary, 24th anniversary of that day on which the terrorist state of Israel engineered the attack of jetliners into the Twin Towers and into the Pentagon in order to get World War III and Armageddon started. These people are out to destroy us, folks. There's just simply no other way of putting it. As we say often on this program, if you want an idea as to what that destruction looks like, just go watch any of the Terminator films, and you'll get a pretty good idea of what we're talking about. Anyway, folks, the sound quality probably is not going to be as good today as it has been in the past. Stas, my trusty sidekick, and I are testing out a new platform here. It doesn't sound as good, but it makes it a lot easier. We've actually done four or five, maybe as many as half a dozen programs, folks, over the course of the last month and a half or so. But we had so many technical problems with it that I had to scrap everything. So we're going to this new platform. It doesn't sound as good, but it is more reliable, and I don't have to worry as much about wires and batteries and things like that. Where you have all of these different pressure points in the system that can go wrong and shut the whole thing down. So anyway, in the meantime, we're looking into one of these other platforms that are specifically designed for podcasting. And depending on how well we're able to familiarize ourselves with how all of that works, this will decide where we go next. But in the meantime, it doesn't matter, folks. Even if the sound quality isn't the best, I can assure you that the informational quality is going to be top-notch. Anyway, folks, lots to talk about. Obviously, as I said, today is the 24th anniversary of that day on which the terrorists, Jews from the state of Israel, attacked the United States in the interest of getting World War III and Armageddon started. Now, folks, those of you who follow the website know that this is a common theme now that appears there, where we don't use the word Jew without using the word terrorist in front of it. And personally, folks, I find it not only perfectly acceptable, but really gratifying in a way. Once you realize how much we are held back, just simply by, through the use of regulating our language, and then once you throw these shackles off and you just are free to say what needs to be said, it's an extremely liberating phenomenon. Okay. It's like, you know, coming to the end of this puzzle that you've been sitting down doing for days or weeks or months, and you've put all of these small pieces in, and the picture is just about done. There may be a few pieces that need to be rearranged, but in general, the picture is just about done. You have a pretty good idea of what is going on here in this picture. And that's where yours truly, folks, has just basically arrived. This journey that began well before 9/11, but really obviously took off on 9/11, I've just about reached the end of it in terms of putting the pieces of this puzzle together, at least for myself. Not that I know everything, folks, that I, you know, from A to Z in a 360-degree arc know everything that has happened. But as far as those question marks that existed within my own mind, most of them now have been answered. And by that, what I mean is, going back to what I just talked about a moment ago with the language that appears on the website now and that will be hopefully appearing on future programs, we just have to say things for what they are, folks. Okay, referring to the Jews as terrorists is a perfectly acceptable thing. If the word had existed during the time of Jesus Christ, he would have used that word. In fact, folks, for all we know, maybe he did use that word. Maybe it did exist at the time, and maybe he did use it. And that somehow it just got lost in translation or something like that. Or maybe the people who put together the gospel said, you know, that's a little too salty. We're going to keep that out. Nevertheless, folks, if he were here with us today, he would be using that word terrorist with the word Jews in many of the things that he says. And he would be perfectly justified in doing that, folks, because clearly these are terrorists. They are engaged in what is the legal definition of terrorism, which is the use of violence against civilians in order to achieve a political outcome. And they're Jews, folks. They're very proud to tell us that they're Jews, meaning they are followers of Judaism and they consider themselves to be of the tribe of Judah. If you were to tell them that they're not Jews, they would get really offended. Okay, they would say, oh, no, Gentile, don't tell us that we're not Jews. Yes, we are Jews. Okay, so since September the 11th, folks, when the terrorist Jews attacked the United States, and really the West, folks, so even though officially speaking, yeah, it happened in the United States, in New York and in Washington, D.C. and Pennsylvania, it was an attack on the entire West because what they were attempting to do was to drag the entire Western world, the Christian West, into this giant meat grinder that the Jews have prepared for us in finishing what their ancestors did not succeed in finishing 2,000 years ago with their murder of Jesus Christ. Okay. And since September 11th, 2001, folks, the word terrorism has been used very, very liberally, very freely. We're allowed to use that when we talk about the followers of Islam. We're allowed to use that when we talk about right-wing Christians, okay? So, you know, as the old saying goes, what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. And therefore, folks, when we pair these two words together, terrorism and Jewish together, it's perfectly appropriate, and I encourage all of you out there listening to this program to do the same thing. You will not believe how how much personal satisfaction you... I described it to a friend of mine the other day. I said it's a little bit like burping. Okay, I'm sorry, folks. I hate to have to reduce it to such a kind of a rude comparison. But it's like the relief you get, you know, when you need to burp. Okay, You don't have to do it out loud, really loud, but, you know, if you feel better after you do. And it is like that, folks. It's like that when you use that kind of language. The bottom line is, folks, is that there's nothing wrong with having these feelings about these people. Okay, there's nothing wrong with being a quote-unquote anti-Semite. Of course, those of you who know me and know this program know that I say that in quotation marks, anti-Semite, because I am a true Semite, folks. I happen to have blood that actually does come from the Levant, from the DNA from the Levant, whereas most of these stinking terrorist Jews do not. But nevertheless, you know, that's the word they want to use, anti-Semite, because they don't want to say the word anti-Jewish, all right, because then it conjures up different ideas. Nevertheless, folks, on this date, September the 11th, it's okay to be an anti-Semite. It's okay to not like the Jews. It's okay to be repulsed by them and disgusted by them, to deal with, you know, to feel feelings of dread, to look at them and to just, you know, you just want to lean over and just spit. You know, Jesus said that whatever a man sows, so shall he harvest. Meaning the seeds that you plant are going to decide what springs up. And therefore, folks, on this September 11th, what is happening now in the world, what has happened now for the last 24 years, all of the trouble that these people have caused, celebrate your Gentilism, celebrate your Christianity, celebrate your Islam, celebrate your anti-Semitism, folks. It is a God-given gift, just like your immune system. You know, when it reacts to something that threatens your existence and it causes all sorts of unpleasant and uncomfortable reactions, you know, a fever, sneezing, cough, whatever. These are gifts from our Creator. And on that note, folks, on the September the 11th, celebrate that anti-Semitism and feed it. Feed that fever, because it's the only thing that is going to save us. Anyway, folks, like I said, I think I said, we're going to keep today's program at around 45 minutes. I know that I'm very rusty, having not been doing the program now for some time. I have to assume that our special guest host, Stas, who will be coming up here in just a moment, maybe has a little bit of rust to work out of the joints as well. So we're going to keep it at around 45 minutes. Obviously, lots to talk about, folks, but we're going to start with what happened less than 24 hours ago with the political assassination of Charlie Kirk. Now, folks, there is, I believe, there is a much deeper element involved in all of this than simply an angry young leftist, because that's what the news reports are, where it's starting to lean right now, that an angry leftist, woke type, is the one who did this. As usual, folks, I believe, and I'm fairly certain that my guest host believes as well, that there's much more to this than just that. If you tuned in today, folks, to hear our explanation as to how the Jews killed Charlie Kirk, well, you've come to the right place. Yes, folks, the Jews killed Charlie Kirk. Did you hear that, Mr. Greenblatt at the ADL? Because I know that this will feature in one of their stories. Podcaster, the Ugly Truth Podcast, blamed the Jews for the death of Charlie Kirk. That's right, folks. We are blaming the Jews for the murder of Charlie Kirk. Whether the guy who pulled the trigger on the rifle was a Jew or not, whether he got his orders directly from Netanyahu or not, it was the Jews who did this. And this is what we're going to unpack on today's program. But before we do that, folks, we're going to go ahead and bring up our special guest host, and it is Stas. I saw his microphone just open up. Stas, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, you were able to do that. Yeah, you were able to do that on your own.
Excellent.
Excellent. Excellent. Good. Well, good. Then I will not have to worry about doing it. Okay. Just so that we're testing everything out, is everything, you can hear everything good on your end?
Very good.
It's coming through clearly. Okay. Great. Great. Okay. Okay. So, Stas, what do you think about today? It's September the 11th, 2025, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles. It's been 24 years since the terrorist Jews perpetrated this act of war against not just the United States, but against the entire Christian West in the interest of getting this clash of civilizations, World War III, Armageddon, started between the Christian West and the Islamic Middle East. What are your thoughts on the importance of today?
I think people should focus on 9/11 wasn't an inside job. It was. You can't blame everything on Dick Cheney and President Bush at the time, even though there's nothing great about them.
Mm-hmm.
It was a false flag attack by the preeminent enemy of the U.S., which is not even China. I'm saying this because guys like Colonel Wilkinson, who was like, no, Israel runs the show. America runs the show, not Israel. And I want to be firm about that. He just said that today. So people got to focus on that. If you're going to, you have to realize it's a fight. We're in World War II. You have to realize you have an opponent. And I don't know how many of America's 350 million people don't realize that.
A lot of them don't realize it, and that's the problem. And even the ones who do realize that we have an enemy, they're running around in circles chasing the wrong enemy. And this is, again, as I said at the beginning of the program, Stas, you know, for me, it's been a 24-year, minute-by-minute process of putting the pieces of this puzzle together, and I certainly will never have the whole picture, but as far as for my own understanding of things, yeah, I understand now what this is really all about. It's not about Zionism. It's not about the Illuminati. It's not about all of these things. It's about two different types of life forms on this planet, okay? You have the Hebrew, the Israelite, the Judite, the Judean, whatever you want to call them, and then we have the Gentile. Okay, just like in the Old Testament story of Cain and Abel. Okay, now I'm not saying, folks, that I necessarily believe that there's any truth to that, other than the fact that what it depicts is that at the very beginning of this thing known as the human experience, that there were two different life forms that existed at the beginning. One of them was an upright individual, and the other one was a murderer in the making. And this battle has been going on now ever since that time. And to simply, to get bogged down in discussions about Zionism and colonialism, that's a popular one that they like to do, it's just not enough, folks. We have to understand that we, the Gentiles of the world, are completely different life forms in how we view the world around us. For us, what matters is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we have an adversary, we have an enemy who has sworn himself to our destruction and who has no other thing, no other reason in this world to live other than to take away that life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness from us. Anyway, Stas, I started off to the topic of today's program by talking about this horrible thing that happened to Charlie Kirk less than 24 hours ago. And I told the listeners that if they tuned in to hear our explanation as to how the Jews killed Charlie Kirk. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and get this discussion started. Now, first thing I want to do, folks, is to lay out the fact that I'm not an expert on Charlie Kirk. Okay. I had run into his name a few times before all of this happened. But I've become extremely discriminating as of late in terms of whose material I tune into, because I realize my own limitations these days. You know, I have, my attention span is not as sharp as it was in years past when I was a younger man. And so I don't want to spread myself too thin. I focus on, those things that I know I can reasonably grasp and I can reasonably explain to other people. So before all of this happened, I really didn't know anything about Mr. Kirk. Having said that, folks, let me start off by saying that this is a terrible thing that happened. Okay, even though there obviously are some things with which he and I would be in complete disagreement, his support for Israel, assuming that it was genuine, some of the things that he has said that were very insulting towards Islam. Obviously, I would disagree with that. But nevertheless, he was a very powerful piece on this chessboard, and now he's gone. And so we need to explore who benefited the most from his absence. Now, I'm going to start this discussion off, first of all, folks, with something, and as flippant as it's going to sound, understand that I am not saying this in that spirit at all, okay? We have nothing but condolences for Mrs. Kirk, who's now been widowed, for his two children now, who have now been made fatherless, okay? Nevertheless, folks, this phrase from the book of Genesis that we hear all the time, this magic spell, this incantation that says, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee, okay? This is the incantation, folks, that has been used for 3,000 years to chew its way into the Gentile brain and to get the Gentile to surrender his or her ability to think rationally when it comes to dealing with the descendants of Cain. Okay, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. Okay, this is the line from the book of Genesis, folks, the 12th chapter, I believe it is. And this is the warning that's uttered, that if you say anything or do anything that is uncomplimentary or unfavorable towards the Jews, if you don't bless them, then you will be cursed. Now, I've heard this myself, folks, somewhere between a million and a billion times in various conversations that I've tried to have with people where the topic of the Middle East was being discussed, and I was trying to make some progress in a rational way in explaining why we have the problems that we do. And at some point, dealing with whatever species of Gentile that I was dealing with, they would say, no, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to be a part of this. Genesis 12 says, I'll bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee, and I don't want to be cursed. It works, folks. As far as the magic spell is concerned, it works. Well, how do we account then for the fact that Charlie Kirk has just been murdered in broad daylight? This man blessed Israel. He blessed the Jews. He blessed the Jewish state. He never had anything bad to say about them. And yet, folks, he didn't get blessed. How is this possible? Now, again, folks, I am not being flippant about this at all. I'm not making light of the terrible thing that just happened to this young man, or to his widowed wife, or his children, okay? But this is a fundamental question now that needs to be asked and discussed, particularly amongst the Christian evangelicals who sold their souls to Satan a long time ago, as soon as they took on that I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee thing, they need to start asking some serious questions now. What happened to Mr. Kirk? Why was he not blessed? Why did that bullet not get deflected? Okay. Why didn't he get blessed? Again, folks, Judaic black magic, there is nothing that we will find in that book of theirs, the Old Testament, the Torah. There is nothing in it except trouble for us. Now, having said that, folks, again, we're going to pursue this discussion of how the Jews murdered Charlie Kirk. Now, do we know anything about the shooter? We don't. We don't have anybody, last that I checked, they don't have anybody in custody. They have a person of interest. They supposedly have found a weapon, a high-powered rifle in the 30-06 caliber, which, you know, if they were going to, if you were going to, you know, Charlie Kirk didn't stand a chance, folks, being hit in the neck with that thing at anything closer than maybe 500 or 600 yards. Didn't stand a chance. So we're going to talk about this, folks. Now, Stas, sorry I've been hogging the conversation here. The discussion did the Jews arrange Charlie Kirk's murder? I say they did, because if what we've been told so far about the guy who pulled the trigger, if it's true that he was one of these far-left types, supposedly he wrote on his ammunition some stuff that was anti-fascist and anti-right-wing. If that's the case, folks, then this is a guy who came out of the brain labs of Judea Incorporated thinking a certain way that resulted in him acting out in the way that he did, which is to murder Charlie Kirk in broad daylight. Okay, folks, this is something that unfortunately a lot of people do not yet understand. They think that because somebody like Benjamin Netanyahu is a quote-unquote right-wing Jew, that this means that he doesn't have any control over the left-wing destructive social, cultural, moral, and political policies in the United States. And this simply isn't true, folks. Okay, the Jews will use a 360-degree arc, anything that they can get their hands on to destroy their Gentile enemies, they'll do it. And this leftism, this far-left stuff, even though the far-left is very anti-Israel and particularly anti-Netanyahu, it doesn't mean that this monster that exists here in America and the West, this far-left wokeism, that it isn't under his control. Okay? So, Stas, let's approach this conversation and assume, for the sake of argument, that the guy that they are suspecting is the killer, really is the killer, and that he is one of these leftist types. What's the connection between the murder of Charlie Kirk and Israel?
Well, even if it is that, the trans movement, I believe, is the genesis of And extreme progressives, and is largely taught to the Gentiles by the Israel.
First. Yes, that's right. Yes. It's still a Jewish thing. Even if it's an anti-Zionist thing, yeah. It's still a Jewish thing, folks.
There you go.
Okay. I'm very fond of saying
that psychoanalysis and Marxism, postmodernism, are these creations that came as the instructions of the Old Testament God.
Mm-hmm.
Or that point of view. That they say, oh, that's impossible. Marx was turned against his religion or whatever. But it's like all these isms are created. And you know, that's pretty bad. What I'm basically saying is the Gentiles have this thing, and somebody says, hey, put a dress on and, you know, do this, and it comes to them. Yes, I am that cynical. I do believe that the genesis of those ideas come from this genius, you know, black magic or psychology, whatever you want to call it, psyops, war, forms of war. And if you're talking about assassination stuff, after reading The Final Judgment and thinking about how these political assassinations go, I tend to more look at the politics of it than to try to focus on that I think I'm going to figure out ballistics or gun angle or disguises.
Right.
Or I guess at some point I feel that at this a high-level personality like Kirk, they're going to use guys that know stuff, that know what they're doing. And it's tending towards that now because they haven't caught the guy. It's a high-powered rifle and a good shot. It was very different than the attempt on President Trump, which was a pop thing.
Yeah.
It's as if they almost learned from that one and this one, and they don't fool around. You know.
Okay, well, obviously there are two possibilities here. The first possibility is that we have a lone nut who he has just sold his soul to the devil, and he hates right-wingers, he hates conservatives, he hates Christians, he hates anything that boxes him in terms of his behavior, okay? He wants to be able to have sex with whatever he wants, and if a life form is produced as a result of that, then he should be free to pay to have it killed. Okay, right. So even if it is just this one lone nut, folks, and if the initial reports are accurate that he was one of these leftist types that was into pro trans and all the rest of that stuff, again, folks, that is a Jewish poison. Okay, in the Middle East, you have where you have the right-wing elements, quote-unquote, you know, they are destroying the Gentiles in the Middle East through overt warfare, whereas in the West and other countries, okay, they're using the more insidious forms of cultural warfare, social warfare, political warfare, you know, chewing us down, destroying our morals through these destructive ideologies. So even if there's nothing more to this than just one guy, and it's possible, folks, I'm not going to go down the road of, you know, drawing out this very elaborate scheme. It could very well be that we just have another crazy on our hands. It's not as if we don't have an entire substrata of our country that doesn't fit this mold. The angry young male, okay, who's been talked into becoming a female, who has no future ahead of him and feels like he has no other alternative other than to lash out violently, okay? Yes, folks, there's an entire army of ticking time bombs out there, especially in America. So it could just very well be that we have one lone nut who decided that he was going to make his mark on history by murdering this husband and father. Okay. Now, folks, for the record, I at this point, I'm 51-49 not in favor of it being just that simplistic thing. I think that there's more to it than this, and that's where Stas and I are going to go right now. Now, going back to with Charlie Kirk and who and what he was, okay? Again, I'm not an expert on him, folks. I really didn't know much about him until this happened, and I started to do some reading. Apparently, he is not just close with the president. He is considered a close advisor to the president. And for understandable reasons, because Charlie Kirk has a considerable following of young people who hang on his every word. Young people of the right-wing mentality who now are starting to realize that they have gotten screwed out of their futures. Okay? So he's very close with the president. He marshals a lot of influence among the young right-wingers in this country. Now, of course, as we said earlier, the one thing that is problematic or was problematic about him is his stance on Israel, about American foreign policy in the Middle East and all of the rest of that. All right. But there's something very interesting and important that has happened, especially in the last 2 or 3 months, folks, that has to be understood and placed very carefully into this puzzle in understanding what may have happened here. For the last 3 months, as I said, really the beginning of summer, there has been this tidal wave of news stories and commentary, all of them written in a very nervous and worrisome tone, folks, about how the right-wingers, the young right-wingers in the United States, are falling out of favor with Israel. Okay, I'm just going to go down the list here. I did a simple search here. I plugged in young conservatives turning against Israel. Here are some of the titles of some of these major articles coming out in major mainstream media outlets, both here and in Israel. The first one is MAGA turning against Israel. Number two, from the Brookings Institution, support for Israel continues to deteriorate, especially among young Republicans. Washington Post, young Republicans are fueling the GOP's generational, they didn't give the rest of the title on it. Let's see what else. Off of Haaretz, one of a left-leaning paper in Israel. The next generation of Republicans is turning away from Israel. Okay, Pew Research Center, major polling center, folks. In views of the Israel-Hamas war, younger Americans stand out in opposition. Okay. Okay, folks, there are literally dozens and dozens of stories written in both the American English press and in the Hebrew press in Israel talking about this phenomenon of how the young people, the young Republicans, okay, where staunch support for Israel, especially when these terrorists decide to go on one of their binges of shedding Gentile blood. Support for this amongst Republicans has been a mainstay for not just decades, but for generations. Okay. But the young Republicans now, okay, who are very supportive of Donald Trump, they are not the same Republicans of their parents and their grandparents when it comes to Israel. For various reasons, folks. Number one, of course, is the genocide taking place in Gaza. Number two is the fact that, these young Republicans can't afford to buy a house. They can't afford health insurance. But they sure as hell can afford those things in Israel due to the fact that we give these parasites and these terrorists somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 million a day of our taxpayers' money. So they are drifting away from this. They're drifting away from the same support that their parents and grandparents had towards Israel. And they're not as frightened. I read one article here earlier. They're not as frightened as being accused of being anti-Semites. What they have said is that term no longer really has the bite or the sting to it that it did in the past. Now, folks, if it's one thing that the Jews understand, it's the importance of polling, it's the importance of understanding where people's mindsets happen to be at any given moment. And so as they are doing these pollings and finding out how they're losing support, this cannot result in anything other than something that's going to make them very nervous, okay? Because these young Republicans are going to be the generation that's running things in just a few short years, They're going to be the ones running for office, running governments. They're going to be voting for all sorts of things, including, you know, billions of dollars being sent to these parasite terrorists in the Middle East. So, and at the same time, folks, that this is happening, you have people such as Tucker Carlson and Steve Bannon and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Candace Owens and some of these other people who are very erudite, they're very eloquent in their language, they're very reasonable, you know, they're the aunt or the uncle, okay, that speaks to these young Republicans in a very reasonable way, okay? Now, the last holdout, folks, in all of this was Charlie Kirk and his organization, Tipping Point USA. He was the last one, apparently, who was still unquestioning in his support for Israel. Now, folks, here's where Stas and I are going to ask some very provocative questions. Obviously, Charlie Kirk, running an organization as large and as influential as he is, they're going to ask questions of their own people. You know, how do you view American support for Israel? How do you view, you know, going to war against Iran or any of Israel's other enemies? How do you view, you know, what's going on in Gaza? And they had to have gotten some troubling numbers for themselves, folks. They no doubt got back some answers saying, listen, you know, I agree with all this other stuff that you're saying about gays and guns and abortion and God and all the rest of that stuff, but I'm having a really hard time swallowing this BS about Israel. So, simply from a brand perspective, folks, Charlie Kirk and his organization had to have had some meeting, some conversation amongst themselves where they said, look, we might have to adjust our position here because otherwise we're going to lose these people. Okay, we can't just keep them part of the family, so to speak, on the issue of gays and guns and God and abortion and things like that because they really are becoming very, very resolute in their opposition to what's going on with Israel. Now, folks, if the Jews, if Netanyahu and the rest of these people got wind that discussions of this type were taking place in Charlie Kirk's organization, then yes, they would have a reason to take him out. And to prevent what would have been a change of policy on the part of this rather large organization. What I'm saying here, folks, is that it's possible that there was something going on behind the scenes, some kinds of noises maybe that Charlie Kirk and his organization were making. Maybe even something as innocuous, folks, as Charlie Kirk planning to issue a statement supporting President Trump's plans for ending the war in Gaza. That, in and of itself, would have gotten him killed. Stas, your thoughts?
Definitely. As a matter of fact, on September 9th, less than 24 hours before he was shot, a Charlie Kirk on his show, you can check it out on YouTube. Israel bombs Qatar. Ben Shapiro joins the Charlie Kirk show. I don't usually like doing this, but in the interest of time, maybe you can pull some sound bites from it later. But here's one of the comments from somebody on YouTube. Quote, unquote, this is insane. Charlie actually questioning Israel for once, finally, and now he gets shot. That's 4 hours ago. Mm-hmm. So those type of comments on here, and he's indicating that he makes comments about the Qatar bombing? Mm-hmm. Is from an American perspective, is this good? Then at some point he's like, you know, as a conservative, we got pushed back on COVID, we got pushed back on this and that. He goes, I'm in the last year, I'm learning to think of things more critically, mm-hmm. and I have to ask, do you think the media asks enough questions about Israel?
Charlie Kirk said this.
Charlie Kirk says this in this show.
Wow. Okay.
So that's pretty big. It's as if, so this is a guy who was like a Gentile Ben Shapiro. I think he's talented, so he would get a trans person or a feminist on, and he'd defeat them in like debates and short things. And he had, there's famous clips of him debating like a kid in Cambridge, England. The kid's like, it's a genocide. And Ben and Charlie Kirk is defending Israel to the hilt. So this interview, only just not that long ago, September 9th et al., his last one,
mm-hmm.
On his YouTube with Ben Shapiro, is a totally different person right there. You know, it's a little bit subtle, but it's so different for this guy. He's usually been just totally card-carrying.
Disagreements
with Israel.
Which I was not aware of, he had actually gone to the lengths of saying that the survivors of Israel's attack on the USS Liberty, that they were just peddling conspiracy theories and saying that Israel deliberately attacked their ship. I ran into that today. So he has gone from that, calling the survivors of the USS Liberty as conspiracy theorists, okay, to now, can you just read those again, Stas, the kind of things that he said? Can you read those again?
Oh, Kirk himself?
Yes.
I'm like running it back using caption, but let's see. Okay, so I'm paraphrasing, but he comments on...
With Ben Shapiro.
Okay. Him and...
Stinking Jew, Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
Let's just say it, folks. It's liberating to burp like that. It's so liberating, folks. The terrorist
Who's the other constitutional
Jew?
Guy? Him and them, the stinking Jews. Oh, well,
Mark Levin.
Mark Levin.
The other stinking Jew, yes.
Mark Levin and him are like very, very...
Stinking Jew brothers. The stinking Jew brothers.
The BBs of...
the Bobbsey twins of the stink... Okay, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead. So in this conversation with the stinking terrorist Jew, Ben Shapiro, Charlie Kirk says...
He starts off at 6:12 right away. I've never heard him speak like this. I hear him once in a while. In terms of Qatar, he says, quote unquote, but looking at this from an American perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not aware that he's ever spoken like that. It's very different for him.
Mm-hmm. Sounds to me like the president may have gotten a hold of him.
He says, how are things could have been handled differently. So, again, he's not as overt as you expect, but it's like he questions U.S. media on Israeli. So we lockdowns, the borders, media totally presenting the truth when it comes to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we couldn't believe everything the media says. So he conditioned to ask critical questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, over the years. So Ben, some people would accuse Israel of wanting to ethnically cleanse. Some people in the Israeli government are saying, again, it's all over the place, right? You have options. And in your opinion, would you say it's a good outcome 5 years from now would be even the claims of ethnic cleansing? Sorry, I'm not paraphrasing very good. But that's
fine.
It's different for him to me. I mean, to me, he became a superstar by these very emotional driven confrontations with all these people, trans people, leftists and everything, and he would and people starting to get critical, they would run these clips of Charlie Kirk defending Israel to the hilt in mm-hmm. this in this interview on his show, you're seeing the distinct possibility that he's going into the Tucker Carlson MAGA camp.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, that neighborhood.
To the point where there's people
yes.
commenting, this is insane, Charlie actually mm-hmm. questioning Israel for once, finally.
By the way, I'm sorry, Stas, interrupt. Whose program was it? Was it Shapiro's or Kirk's?
Charlie Kirk's program.
So he was on his home turf. He was on his home turf having
home
this
turf.
Conversation. Okay.
Just 3 hours ago, some commenter said Mossad didn't like this bid. So this is Israel is known for killing journalists who oppose him. So these are the kind of comments you're getting
mm-hmm.
on the Charlie Kirk YouTube, which if you look at older ones, some of them are criticizing him for supporting Israel too much, or it's just the usual Fox News-related, you know,
mm-hmm.
Pro-Israel, pro-MAGA crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
and now this Shapiro is completely full of excrement. So there's, it's backing up totally what you're saying about the troubling for the pro-Israel people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got another one. AIPAC absolutely killed him. So it's out there.
Okay.
In the open, at least by these comments. I apologize. I haven't done a great job of paraphrasing.
No, it's fine. Look, I mean, we just started putting this thesis, not even a thesis, a question, putting
mm-hmm.
this question together just a few hours ago. Okay.
Right.
So the bottom line, folks, and again, I'll preface what I'm about to say by saying I am not an expert on Charlie Kirk. I haven't heard anything he has said other than, you know, what I've learned in the last 5 or 6 hours. I really don't, you know, I know nothing about him other than that he has said these things that are just over the top. He was like a non-drooling version of that Toad John Hagee, okay, as far as his support for Israel goes. So for him to be adopting this change of opinion, folks, even if it's very slight, okay, again, you have to understand, folks, that when it comes to the Jews, there are these tiny little things. They hyper-focus on them. When somebody says something, they say to themselves, uh-oh, wait a minute, what was that thing he just said? Okay, you know, why did he pause after saying that particular word? They pay close attention to these things. So if our good friend and researcher here, Stas, is correct, and I'm sure that he is, in saying that just a few days ago, Charlie Kirk basically invited the stinking Jew, Ben Shapiro, onto his program in order to ambush him or to begin a new conversation about how, as Americans, we need to start viewing our relationship with these terrorists in the Middle East. This did not resonate well with the organized Jewish community, folks. They can't afford to lose Charlie Kirk to people such as Tucker Carlson and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Steve Bannon and Candace Owens and others who are having a very rational conversation these days about the dangers that exist as a result of our relationship with this terrorist state. Who else may have been pulling him in this direction, Stas? Who else?
Oh, I would say definitely Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Higher. Higher.
The president himself.
Yes, absolutely.
Go right to the top.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's inevitable. And it's really – I mean, if you look at it before, he was getting a lot of criticism for that, just a carte blanche.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what people are saying here. They're saying Kirk was becoming like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens. So –
yeah, and again, folks, I know those of you out there the Johnny One Note who say, oh, Trump would never have done this. You know, he's totally beholden to Netanyahu and whatever appears to be some disagreement between the two of them is just an act. No, folks, that is not true. Okay, you're right. At this moment, the president finds himself neutralized, probably over this Epstein thing that Netanyahu dropped in his lap when he was last in town. Okay. But the president needs to build as much political momentum behind his plans for bringing an end to World War III, which the terrorist Jews got started, technically speaking, folks, since 9/11, but definitely got jump-started after October the 7th, okay? So the president needs, especially the young people, folks, he needs the young people to be on his side. He needs them out in the street holding up signs saying no more aid to Israel, no more wars for Israel, end the war in Gaza, end the genocide in Gaza. He needs them out in the streets in the hundreds of thousands and millions doing this so that he has political momentum behind him so that when he goes into any kind of meeting with Netanyahu and these other terrorist Jews, he can say, look, I've got an army of people now that hate your guts and they want me to get a leash around your neck and bring you to heel. So I would say that it is not out of the question, folks, that Charlie Kirk was being pulled out out of his old neighborhood. He was being pulled into a new neighborhood where this frank and honest America First discussion takes place on a daily basis, and the Jews killed him because of it. I think that's a perfectly reasonable thesis or question. They can't afford to have this happen. Now, it's actually worse than that, folks, because I think if there's more to this than just simply one messed up young person who decided that he was going to make his political statement by shooting Charlie Kirk in public like this. Let's say that it was a professional job, okay? And I think that it's a better than 50-50 chance that it was, okay? The fact that they haven't found this guy yet is indicative that it may have been. The fact that I know it seems like a small evidentiary thing, but I know a lot about the weapon that they're saying was used. And, you know, it's not one of these fancy weapons. This is the kind of thing that you buy off of the local classifieds for $100 where there's no paper trail. It's the kind of thing that an assassin would want. A professional assassin. Okay, so what does this suggest, folks? It's not just that they needed to prevent Charlie Kirk from abandoning one ship and joining the other, and bring with him tens of millions of young people. I think that this is also the terrorist Jews announcing that it's a different season now, okay? They're not just going to write nasty articles on their websites and in their newspapers. They're not going to just limit it to the ADL saying nasty things about people. They're actually going to start killing people because of the things that they say that the Jews don't like. And that includes people like Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Candace Owens, and of course it'll be blamed on these, you know, the radical leftists, the radical Democrats. But everybody will get the message that this was Israel that did this, and it was because of these people exercising their free speech and in pushing for an America First policy. Stas, your thoughts?
Yes, they're going to do the best to to frame it as a pro-Palestinian trans leftist person, which, you know, the Democratic Party, a lot of people in it have been critical, and I think that's what they were hoping to have Kamala Harris deal with, that, change it to a feminist issue or a Trump is bad issue, doing her best to distract from this. Or the Ron Emanuel Democratic Party versus the people who are being fooled by Bernie Sanders' party. Because weirdly enough, the party members in the Democrats are pro-Palestinian to a degree, definitely. But there's nobody that's helped them carry the ball. They just, a lot of them were fooled for a long time by Sanders and still are. I think he's lying about his support for the Palestinians outright to their faces. But he'll say a lot, you know, and he'll criticize Netanyahu or whatever. But, you know, it's like Democracy Now! Or whatever. Amy Goodman, she's on all day talking about the atrocities and a lot of emotion for Palestine. And it's useless. Without any power behind it to help the people, it's useless. Or if you not have a real attention. What the only thing they fear is real business and real politics. And this was a real I mean, he's got a huge following. And on that, maybe we shouldn't believe everything the media says about Israel. I mean, this is unheard of. So it's a huge clue to your thesis that he was moving towards at least center MAGA.
At the very least,
joined Tucker Carlson. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Okay. So he might not come out and start referring to them as terrorist Jews, but he would say, you know, it's as Americans, it's in our interest that our money stays here and that our money doesn't get used to bomb Christian churches in Gaza and in the West Bank. Okay. Something like that, where he's not even talking about Israel in a negative light. He's saying he's approaching everything from purely a pro-America first position. Okay. So, in effect, achieving the same thing but using different language in the process. Now, there's no question about the fact, folks, that the Jews, the terrorist Jews, are very alarmed with people like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and others and the kinds of conversations that they're having. This is just this is a nightmare for them, because here you have these people, you know, they're good looking, they speak well, they're very intelligent, they're very reasonable, okay? Very reasonable in their approach, and this is the kind of thing that is resonating with people. Okay, this is the kind of thing, this is the kind of product that people are willing to buy. They may not buy the kind of stuff that you'll hear here on this program, folks. You know, stuff that is really salty, okay? There's no lukewarm about anything. But they'll listen and they'll buy what Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens say, okay? So there's no question about the fact that if they succeed, if they had succeeded in pulling Charlie Kirk into this gang, into this neighborhood, that they would have a real problem on their hands. Not just because millions of people would start to change their minds, but then Donald Trump as president of the United States would be able to tap into that huge reservoir of political energy. Okay? So these are the things that we have to plug into all of this, folks, is that, you know, sometimes it's a very simple issue and sometimes it's not when it comes to these kinds of things. And so, yeah, folks, the Jews murdered Charlie Kirk. Whether it's what it appears to be, the way that it's being presented in the media, that it was just this one lone nut who did it because he hates conservative Christian ideas, which the Jews hate, or whether there's something bigger involved in all of this that they wanted to prevent that very large conservative organization from falling into the sphere of, you know, where you see people like Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and others. Either way, folks, it's the same hand that pulled the trigger on this. And I think that obviously in the days and weeks ahead, we're going to learn more about this. But in the end, folks, it's La Cosa Nostra. That's what it boils down to. Stop, your thoughts.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think the trans shooter of the Catholics was like a foreshadowing, so they show clearly that the ammunition cases have pro-trans,
yeah,
anti-fascist.
Yeah.
Whenever they can, the media wants to make it about a race thing because that sells, and other reasons. And so now they're trying to say that this shooter is similar. They're framing them, and this could be a great cover.
Cover.
They could get rid of Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Absolutely.
Could get rid of
sure,
Carlson,
Tucker Carlson,
all
Candace Owens. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it's going to galvanize the right wing against these people. That's fine. If your mission is to kill somebody, get them out of the way, and at the same time foment more political instability in the country, fine. Yeah, they don't. It doesn't have to be, you know, some guy named Muhammad. Okay, it can be. You know, I mean, as far as they're concerned, mission accomplished. Okay, the guy that killed Kirk is not going to be traced back to Israel. It's going to be traced back to, what's her name, Ocasio-Cortez, those types of people. But in the end, folks, the thing to keep in mind is that whether it's right or whether it's left, it's being controlled by the same people. And the bottom line here is that the Jews are out to incinerate the planet, and they cannot afford to have anybody out there of any measurable influence waking the people up and making them understand the real nature of what is approaching. You know, once people understand that they themselves are going to find... they're going to find themselves in the same situation as the people in Gaza do. When they realize, hey, this thing isn't just about Gaza. This is about the entire world. This is about the Jews, the terrorist Jews, and their terrorist fantasies about incinerating the planet, which includes us in the West. Once they realize that they've got skin in the game, suddenly they're not as easily controlled and easily manipulated by a few slogans and a few catchphrases as they were before. And I think that this is what people like Tucker Carlson and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, this is what they are doing. They're beginning to wake people up and make people understand that you do have skin in this game. By the way, folks, just as a little aside and a little pat on the back here, Marjorie Taylor Greene and her mentioning of JFK and Israel and the nuclear weapons, apparently, if what I have been told is true, the reason that she mentioned this, much to the Jews' angst, is because one of the longtime listeners of this program personally got a copy of Michael Collins Piper's Final Judgment into the hands of Mrs. Green. So, sorry, folks, I just had to, because that's what I was told by one of the readers. He said, guess who got a copy of Final Judgment into the hands of Congresswoman Green. So that's a little plus sign on our side, folks. Anyway, Stas, we are just about at the end of what I think has been a very interesting conversation, and hoping to have a follow-up this weekend to start tackling the Epstein thing once again in the right way, folks, not in the goofy way that unfortunately predominates out there in the alternative media, but in the way that I think makes sense. Is there anything you want to tell the fine folks listening to this program before we say sayonara?
I agree with your idea that the likely culprit is political, and it's from the Holy Land. In addition, I think it's looking like they're stopping short of blaming it on an Iranian or Palestinian. They're more cautiously. They're saying the ammunition engraved with trans anti-fascist ideology. Yeah. So they would everybody will just think, oh, it's the woke.
Well, I think that what you just said is very accurate. It's the safer, more cautious thing. If they made this an overtly Islamic thing tied to the Middle East, then, you know, Kirk's followers may even started saying, you know, was this a false flag? Did they do this in order to drag us into another war in the Middle East for Israel's benefit? So, yes, they would be much more cautious about this by using another trans guy. But then again, folks, like we said at the beginning of the program, it may very well be that it is exactly what it appears to be on a surface level. Maybe it was just this nut who didn't like the fact that Kirk was a conservative Christian and was against all of these sacraments that the left embraces of trans and abortion and gays and all of the rest of that. So it could be that, folks. The bottom line is, irrespective of which version of reality is the dominant one, whether it was a very simple thing of one nutcase doing this or whether it was a much larger plan aimed at targeting these influential influencers such as Tucker Carlson and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others. The bottom line, folks, is that it all goes back to the Holy Land, as Stas said. Anyway, Stas, thank you for what was a fascinating and I would say brilliant conversation, at least on your part. Is there anything you want to tell the folks before we shut down for the day?
The things are heating up. They're now claiming Democratic National Committee received a bomb threat in the wake of Charlie Kirk. So, you know, there's a certain group of people that might do anything to get focus off of them, and it's
the Illuminati,
like
right?
This.
The Illuminati,
yeah. The Illuminati, of course.
The Bilderbergers,
yes. The Bilderbergers,
Jesuits.
The Jezzies are the real threat.
Jezzies. Yeah, I got to keep an eye on them, Benny. folks, we have to do this because again, folks, it's, you know, we live and die based upon what conversations are taking place. Okay. And as far as the Gentiles out there are concerned, the conversations that are taking place, some of them, they're not just stupid, folks. They're dangerously stupid. And not just dangerously stupid, but apocalyptically dangerously stupid. And that includes these very confusing and destructive and diversionary conversations where they're talking about colonialism and the Illuminati and the Bilderbergers and the Jezzies, as Stas put it. Remember, folks, our commander-in-chief, okay, our commander-in-chief of the great Gentile resistance, Jesus Christ, he never once referred to the Zionists. He never talked about the Bilderbergers or the Freemasons or the Illuminati or anything like that. He talked about the Jews. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. Again, our apologies if things seem to bounce around a little bit, still a little bit rusty. We hope to get all of that worked out now that we're on this new platform. And stay sharp, folks. Stay sharp, because it's the only chance we have of getting through this thing with our skin intact.